Hello, hello. Welcome to the Growth Mindset Podcast. Today, I am delighted to have my first pop R&B artist on the show, and it is Nate Seto, who has developed his career in the great city of Detroit. As a Michigan native, he grew up with a passion for music and began writing songs when he was 7 years old and pursued a music career at the age of 20. He's got some great singles out that you can check out on YouTube. I'm a big fan of his single Novocaine, which deals with anxiety and substance abuse. And as I'm someone who's always been interested in music and written a lot of music myself, I was fascinated to see how you go from just writing in your room at home to taking the steps into actually becoming an artist, as it were. And it was really great to learn from Nate about the problems he's overcome and to learn from just such an upbeat guy. And this may surprise some of the listeners. One thing about Nate was that he had no idea that this interview was about to happen. And I know, the Growth Mindset Podcast, a very prestigious podcast, of course. But yeah, I thought he would have been like awake all night, ready for the interview or something. But actually, he was still asleep at the point when the interview was scheduled to start. And I may have woken him up on the phone to get hold of him. And he had no idea who I was or what was going on. But being a hero, within 5 minutes, he was dressed, ready, had his game face on, and the interview went ahead. So, absolute legend. He's a pretty cool guy. So, kudos to him. I really like his music and like his general personality was pretty sterling. And so, without further ado, let's jump into the episode. Welcome to the Growth Mindset Podcast. Success isn't a goal, it's a journey. I interview the most incredible humans to keep your mind optimized for growth. Excited to have you on the podcast. Did check you out and was like, this guy's dope. I like his music.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, no worries. So I guess, pinching, so how old are you again?
27.
Cool.
How old are you?
I'm 29.
Okay, I was gonna say, I thought we were like around the same age, so that's cool.
But yeah, I kind of always really liked music. I went to music production when I was like 25 for a bit. Like, I think I had the wrong mentality. I thought of it as more of like a career break from like normal life rather than taking it seriously. Like, I got super into it for 3 months, but like I need to be super into it. But I was thinking maybe after I'm 30, I might like actually just take music seriously and just do that.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's got to go with whatever you're passionate about, you know?
So how about you? How did you decide to actually take the journey to do music?
I actually had the passion since I was like 7 years old. I don't know why. I always had this thing where I always saw myself like being like a big star when I was like a kid. And then when I got older, my parents tried to instill reality into me. Like, okay, you're going to have to get a job. You have to have a career. So I was like, all right, whatever. So I went to college for a couple of years and I was like, there's nothing in the world that's going to make me happy unless I succeeded in music. So that's when I actually started to pursue it. And I was sneaking around recording music behind my parents' back and telling them I was going to classes. And once I actually got my sound together, I pitched it to them. They actually really loved my music. They're like, okay, maybe you can do something with this. Then I got their blessing and been doing it since.
Cool. Okay, so you write the music. Do you play many instruments?
No, actually, I really just focus on writing. Like, I'm actually really big on writing. Well, like melody, lyrically.
So how do you like go around writing melodies without being able to play music as such?
So for example, like I would use like my fist to make a beat like something like that, and then I kind of just, a melody just kind of comes out, like I don't know how to explain it. So sometimes like I'll have like an instrumental playing, like the producer, he'll have like a music bed for me, and then I'll pretty much write to the music that's playing, and that's just basically how I'll do it. Usually I come up with like the melody first, it'll be gibberish, like na-na-na-na-na-na, and I'll put like lyrics over it. So I actually posted something on Instagram, like how it built into a song. It was like something in the shower. I was just kind of singing something in the shower, and then it turned into just me recording it and then making the video for it.
That's interesting. So I have a few different ways. Like, but generally, I sort of start with like I write something on guitar or something, and then try and work out how to like put words to it. But yeah, I find it's quite useful being someone that can play the music to sort of, I'll find something that I really like as like a beat or something, but then I'll play something quite different that follows the same chord structure. Because I find if I try and write words to the thing that I'm playing, I end up just like singing like the same melody. And whereas if I just change it completely, I'll sing something completely different, but then it works with like the original, and like I find that sort of like kind of quite useful. But yeah, it's interesting. So, I mean, so since you were seven, so you just took lots of singing lessons and that was about it? Or you just sang in the shower the whole time? How did you get like good at your craft exactly?
Yeah, actually, I discovered some people in Detroit. That's like a company called Star Factory. And basically what they do is they help you with like stage presence and vocal performance and stuff like that. And so I was already making music with a producer, and he introduced me to Brandon Smith, who owns the company. And so I started working with them for a few years, and basically they helped me develop into a more professional artist. And so I just took that and ran with it.
So 2 years worth of lessons. Can you teach us the biggest lessons from that 2 years?
Yeah, have confidence. That was something I was lacking, and that's something that actually makes like all the difference, believe it or not. It's not even just about like just moving on stage. It's about that feeling that you really give off, that vibe that, you know what, I'm doing great, I feel great, I'm happy to be here, and that's gonna make all the difference in your performance. So that's something I learned a lot.
Yeah, as in like you can't sing when you're not confident that you're gonna like be able to break the note. It's definitely a self-fulfilling prophecy. I might not make it, you won't make it. It's like comes that crap. So how do they teach you confidence? As in having confidence obviously is like important, but how do you develop it?
I guess from that it was like with experience as well, but having a great coach that would like boost me up, that helped a lot. Just putting confidence into me, just like saying, just talking about my music, or just when I do something right on stage, just compliments that, and just kind of we just focus on the right things that I'm doing. And oh, I remember my first performance, which was in 2016. I remember it was just terrible. I was scared as hell. I was like shaky. And I remember that feeling afterwards. I was like, I never want to feel that way ever again. So I put like a lot of focus in like my practices. And once I practiced a lot, that boosted my confidence as well. And I was just like, you know what? Like I've practiced so much, I can't even mess this up. And then when I get on stage, I just like, I don't know, I just kind of boosted myself up. Like I got this, I'm about to go out there and kick some ass. And it just helps, just speaking it into yourself as well.
Definitely. Thanks. Good tips. So have you like got to know quite a few other artists and stuff, like being in that world now?
No A-list artists as of right now, but I've worked with like a lot of people as well, like LeBrittany from Love and Hip Hop. I don't know if you've heard of the show Love and Hip Hop. It's on VH1. And so I got to work with her, which was like a really great experience. I thought she was a really dope artist, and she was very humble too. So like that, I thought it was a really great experience.
Yeah, that's good. I guess obviously now that I know you, your music's going to mean more to me than it would just like some random person's music, even though if I might follow them as a fan, having like had a conversation with you. So do you feel like you've got to know other people who are just sort of in the same kind of game as you, kind of like their music in a different way to how you are with like other music perhaps?
Yeah, definitely. Because you actually get to kind of know the person, kind of see the way they carry themselves, you know, how respectful they are, how like cool they are. So yeah, definitely, I feel that way. I remember I met this dude at a big performance, and there was like probably 5 to 6 artists performing that day. And I saw him go in front of me, and he was just like really cool on stage. And after his performance, he came, shook my hand, and he's just like really cool. And I was like, he did so great on stage, such a cool dude. I was like, yeah, I'm gonna check you out. So like, it gave me that reason, like, you know, I'm gonna check this guy out. Like, he seemed like really humble, really cool. So yeah, it definitely has that effect for sure.
And certainly, like, do you think just being humble in general is like quite a good, like a Hugh Jackman and like some other artists that you just sort of bother to take the time to talk to anyone, like they'll shake their hand first and like introduce themselves, even though everyone knows who they are, kind of thing? Is I think it's a good way to be. Hopefully you'll be this famous in the future and I'll be like, oh Nate, by the way, remember me?
I'm like, I'm sorry, who? Not as well. I'm just kidding, no.
Yeah. Fucking guy, woke me up in the morning.
I don't woke me up at the moment. No, man, it was my fault. I'm so sorry about that.
So in terms of like you're writing songs, some of them like are quite personal.
I would say definitely a handful of them are personal. Like my latest single, Novocaine, that one's like one of my most personal songs because I was going through something when I wrote that. And before that, I generally just wanted to release like positive music, just about like partying or whatever. And at that moment, I wasn't in a positive partying mood. So I just wanted to just like really write something that came from the heart and something that I wanted other people to hear, because I wanted to let them know that they weren't alone in feeling anxiety or depression or whatever it is they were going through. And I'm like, you know, I had a breakup song. It was about a real relationship, and just like the content within like the lyrics was stuff that we lived out, and that also came from the heart too. So I definitely like to write from personal experiences.
Yeah, I find it's really nice when I'm super sad about something to like write music, and sort of I kind of bottle my sadness, put it in a song, and I don't really feel sad anymore, but I can know I can always go back and visit it. It's quite nice. I haven't tried other techniques, but apparently I kind of like writing your thoughts and like burning them or something, or something's like quite useful.
Yeah, I've heard of some stuff like that.
I prefer writing songs because I can revisit them and stuff. It's nice to feel creative.
Absolutely, I agree.
So you said that when you're 7, that's when you first got into it, because I certainly find that sometimes when I'm writing music, I'm just like, holy shit, this is awesome. And you get like super into the flow of things. Did that happen to you when you were 7, or did that start like that later?
Yeah, I remember it was actually like me and my female cousin. I was the one writing the songs, and me and her were like kind of sing them to our family and shit like that. Like we had a group called Inside 2. We were just like little ass kids. But yeah, I felt like the songs were really good. I felt like they were really good at the time. And, you know, just like family complimenting it just to be nice or whatever. But yeah, I guess that gave me like the confidence when I got older. And I was always writing songs even when I was in middle school. But at that point, I wouldn't like show it to anybody because I just loved doing it. I loved writing songs and pretending I was like an artist within my own little world. And then then when I got into high school, I started doing performance, like talent shows and stuff like that. And that's when like my community was starting to see, oh, like he does music and stuff like that. And I remember senior year, you know, like with prom, they have like those mock elections, like most likely to do this, most likely to do that. Well, I got voted most likely to win American Idol, which was, I thought was like kind of interesting. I was like, oh, that's so cool that my class recognized me. I was so surprised that my name was even in the thing. I thought that was kind of cool, but yeah.
That's nice. Yeah, I've never had those things. I wonder what I would have been voted for. Pretty sure none of the things I've been going on and doing. It's a funny one.
You may have heard about Feels CBD, but let me tell you why I love it. It's a great and natural way to relieve chronic pain, stress, and anxiety. And as a full-time CEO of a cash-strapped startup, I'm trying to do a million things at once, and I experience a good level of stress every day, and Feels helps me ride the waves a little bit, getting regular sleep, which I think is the most important thing to just keep your sanity and your health in check. So Feels helps you just have a natural night of sleep and wake up feeling great. What is Feels? It's a premium CBD delivered direct to your door, and it's easy to take with a few drops under the tongue and you're good to go. They have a support hotline with real humans if you really need it. And remember that it does work naturally with no high or hangover or addiction. You can join their membership to save money on every order. And if you sign up now at feels.com/growth, you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping. Now that's Feels, which is FEALS.com/growth to become a member now with 50% off and free shipping. Feels.com/growth.
So then how did you go from, like, because you said you entered the Star Factory. So did they like give you insights on the music industry so you could like get your music like into places where it gets heard? Like, how did you go from like having ideas for songs?
I've gotten a few tips actually, but the main focus wasn't really marketing. They're doing that now. Now that I left, I see that they're doing that more now. But when I was there, it was more focusing on like fan interaction, like on stage, and just like how do you carry yourself on stage and stuff like that. And yeah, just basically like experiences with performances. So like that was like the main focus, was like live performances. And then I also did like a few like mock interviews and stuff like that as well. So I thought that was like really cool too.
What, like this kind of interview? Or
yeah, it was like for like a radio interview.
Cool. Show up, have a good mic, wear clothes, be awake.
Yeah. All the things I didn't do this morning.
Yeah. That's fine. It's good to remind yourself of these things.
Yeah, that's so funny.
So how did you go from going through that to then becoming like a sort of an artist known about then?
During the classes that I was taking at Star Factory, I was working with a popular comedian named Pat D. Lucky. And basically we'd work together, like he'd do really funny skits and he would incorporate my songs within his skits. And that would give me like a lot of exposure. And so I was working with like him and several other comedians as well. And that's basically how I was getting a lot of exposure. And that's when my fan base started to grow. And yeah, just pretty much went from there. I always started DMing my fans, you know, replying to them, and just pretty much got closer to like a lot of my fans. And I've been doing that for a couple of years now. So yeah.
See, I do kind of wonder how like artists sort of get known, because you have like open mics and things, but then it's not really the right.
Yeah, that's like a long process, I feel like.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't really see how like the music that people make usually like works at open mics as such.
Yeah, we're in a new generation now. It's like all about internet and stuff like that, you know, especially right now with coronavirus. Like, I don't know what the hell is going to happen in the next 5 years. Anything could happen, but it's crazy. Like if this were to happen, like, I don't know, 30, 40 years ago, I couldn't be an artist. I couldn't really do anything. What the hell could I do? So it's actually pretty grateful that I'm actually within this generation. Even though this is happening, I'm grateful to be part of this generation.
You released your last single in March, right?
Well, actually, I just released something that I'm going to be promoting soon, like within the summer, and it's called Marilyn Monroe. So maybe pushing that too. So
cool. I'll check that one out as well.
Oh, yeah. I think you'll like it. It has a good vibe. What kind of music do you generally listen to anyways?
Mix. I do quite like a lot of hip hop and R&B. Then, I mean, I don't listen to as much as I used to be fair. I used to be super into indie and rock when I was younger. Nothing like crazy, crazy hard. Like drum and bass stuff is pretty nice. But like playing guitar, I kind of just wrote mostly sort of rock and acoustic things. Then when I did production, I just went nuts and was like drum and bass and hip hop and everything that I could like do. It's just like, wow, this is so good. You know, I don't listen to like a lot of classical, but like a little bit, but I wouldn't really confine myself to many genres. Again, with opera, maybe there's like two songs I like, but mostly I'm like, maybe not.
How about you?
Honestly, like, people get surprised, but I listen to like literally everything. I would say primarily hip hop, R&B, and pop music primarily, because I, you know, I'm a pop artist and I do like, you know, R&B vibes as well. But a lot of people are shocked that I know a lot of old school songs, like old school rock. Like, I'm actually really into that. Even like, there's a lot of disco songs I like. There's a lot of country songs that I like. A lot of heavy metal songs that I actually listen to. Like, people be surprised, like, that I actually have like a pretty broad interest in music. If it sounds good, like the melody's like there, and it's just like a really good song, like, I'm into it. Like, I like it.
Yeah, that's where I'm basically listen. If it is like something really heavy, but if you played it on piano and it still had a melody, I can probably like it. If it's something that's really heavy and it's just heavy for the sake of having some weird noises, but there's no like melody.
Right. I had somebody actually piano play one of my songs on the piano. I wish I can play piano. That's so awesome. But
you can make Growth Mindset.
I know. That's true. Maybe one day I will.
Musician's pretty good. You're like, Dad, what are you doing with your time?
I know, you're right. But like, yeah, he played my song like on a piano. It was like a fast-paced song, but he played it on the piano version. I was like, this is like a beautiful ass song. Like, yeah, this is my song right here. And like, I never heard it in this way. And I thought that was really, really unique. I was like, man, the song has like a lot of beauty to it. I didn't realize, because it's just like a pop song. It's like pretty fast-paced. Like, oh, this is good. But like, slowing it down and on a piano, it's like, wow, like, this is a really nice song. If I never heard the song, I would have loved it, you know? So that was kind of cool.
I feel like I'm going to be texting you now each month, be like, so where are you at on piano, mate?
Oh, man. I think I attempted it once, like 6 years ago. And I was just like, I don't know. I didn't enjoy like the process. Maybe it was the teacher. I don't know. But I just didn't feel comfortable.
Teacher makes a huge difference.
I think so too. Yeah.
I didn't like one of mine. But yeah, as in some of the new apps you say, it's a really good like musician. So it's pretty addictive.
Musician?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. I actually heard of that.
It's surprisingly good and sort of, yeah, helps a lot. Yeah, I've got a few piano tutorials on YouTube, actually, if you want to.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll check them out.
Oh, it's the Aphex Twin, his song that's like super nice.
You said Aphex Twin?
Yeah, because most of his, the one that's in like Marie Antoinette. Why am I, it's like, it's such a long ass explanation to get to this song and I can't think of the friggin' word.
Sorry, maybe it'll come to you.
I should just go into my YouTube channel because like, there's always comments on that.
Yeah, go ahead.
2 seconds.
Are you in Canada right now?
No, I'm in England.
Oh, England. Okay. Because I saw something that said something about Canada time, and I was like, oh, okay. So you're England. Okay, which part of England?
Canterbury right now. Just moved here.
Okay. How far is that from Newcastle?
It's kind of far. Newcastle's like northeast. This is southeast.
I had an old friend that lives out in Newcastle. So I was wondering how far.
Cool. Newcastle's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for America, it's not very far. It's like 300, 400 miles.
Yeah, not too far.
Which is nothing in America. But like, that's like the length of England, basically. So for me, it's relatively far.
Yeah.
Yeah. Avril 14th was the name of the song by Aphex Twin.
Avril 14th?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like my most popular.
Okay, I'll check it out.
Just because like, it's quite hard, but it's really, really nice. And you can just listen to it repeatedly forever, the song. So it's a really nice one to learn. It's like one of your first ones, because like, it's not annoying to keep on like doing it and doing it for an hour.
Keep playing it over and over. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
Anyway, tangent. I'm not sure if this is a tangent. Maybe this is right on point. I'm happy if you end up learning piano, by the way.
I'll update you. I'll let you know.
Yeah. Sweet. Anyway, so back to getting people to know you. So you sort of just release music online then and like message people a lot, like directly, like, or like your friends, and then getting them to.
Yeah. Or just working with like other promoters and other like comedians as well. So they'll just basically like incorporate my song, or sometimes I'll have a company just post my song for like 24 hours, like on their story or something like that, just to give it exposure. So like, I would like really focus on that. That's like a great way. There's also like paid ads that you can do on Instagram as well. And I learned from a few of my fans, they discovered me from that. And I'm like, okay, because I didn't know it was working at first. I was like, okay, it's good to know. I'm like, people are actually listening and people learn to follow me from that. So that's kind of good to know.
Well, I guess it's nice to have the power, but do you feel like you're taking a bit of a risk by like sort of trying to pay for these things? And
Yeah, I definitely think it's a lot of times it is a risk. There's been times I put my money into somebody and like the results weren't what were expected. I was just like, okay, whatever. So you just learn. You just go with what works.
Yeah, it's sort of not really how I'd ever thought about going into music. Kind of sort of always, you know, you just kind of hear about like getting a record label or something and they kind of have to pay for everything, but then you like, obviously don't own it so much. But I guess that's how you actually would do it, to do it yourself. Because yeah, you can't just like make a good piece of music and expect everyone to find it, because it doesn't happen, sadly. But I didn't think you'd be like doing ads on Instagram though. That's sort of like a full-on lean startup.
Yeah, when they first started bringing ads to Instagram, I tried it. I didn't get any results. I was like, okay, this is stupid. And then I tried it again. And this time I was like messing with like the exposure. I'm sending it to this age group and people that are interested in whatever. And then I started to see some results. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go with that. I don't put all my money into it. Just like, you know, it's just like one of the many branches that you can use to get exposure online. Or is everything shut down right now?
Yeah, it's all opening up again in the UK. I went to Germany a bit to do some training, and it was like way more open in the UK because like they just done such a good job of dealing with it. And so like things opened up like a month or so ago.
Why did you go to Germany to train?
So we haven't got any mountains here in the UK.
Okay.
So I climbed Germany's mountain.
I don't know there were any in Germany either. That's interesting.
Yeah, so you know the Alps? They're in like sort of, they're more famous for being in like Italy, France, Switzerland, but like also during Germany, they're there as well. And like there's some really big ones. So I climbed Germany's biggest mountain, which is like 3,500 meters, which took like 16 hours of just like all day. That was a big one.
Do you bring like, it's like an oxygen thing, I think, like when you go...
No. Yeah, so for elevation, like when you're climbing Himalayas, that's like 7,000 meters plus. I mean, some people need it at like 6,000 or something.
I got asthma, so I think I would have needed a few bottles of that.
I didn't really notice too much from elevation. I did get diarrhea on the first day, which is not good. Like every like sort of 20 minutes, I was like, fuck's sake, I'm outside of a mountain.
Oh, shit. There's no way to go to the bathroom, right? Like,
no, there's no bathroom. Like, I'm wearing a freaking climbing harness and shit. And you're just like, yeah, there's no bushes after that.
I would have snuck behind a bush or something. Oh, man.
That was really awkward. But it's good practice to sort of know what to deal with in like the more dangerous environment. And yeah.
Yeah. Maybe take some Pepto-Bismol or something.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm thinking. I'm just going to like do that first thing in the morning, like regardless of how I'm feeling. I'm just like taking some anti-diarrhea stuff just because like don't have time for that when I'm like, yeah, the Matterhorn one is just, I don't know if you.
You're allowed to take whatever with you, right? Like you'd bring snacks and stuff too, right?
Yeah, I can take snacks and stuff. You shouldn't be leaving any rubbish, but yeah, you know, whatever you carry, you've got to be carrying. So it's like extra weight and things. And
just because like last time you said you didn't have the energy because you didn't eat.
Oh yeah, that was just yesterday. I was just like being silly with my marathon, just like testing the limitations of my body because I was like, I wonder what this thing can do.
And I know you were like damn near close to finishing, just need a little fuel.
Yeah. Well, it's more interesting to know like what actually happens when things do go wrong, because then you can like sense it earlier, because it is quite a fast, like when you go over that threshold, like how quickly you descend, and if you kind of get to know that a bit earlier, you can sort of prevent it if it's happening. Because like, I mean, I've never actually run a marathon before, but I'm not really that bothered. I'm like, I kind of already know I can do it, and so I wasn't really that interested to do that. And like, I mean, I'm running around again already today. I'm not even like slightly tired, despite the fact that I ran like 99% of a marathon yesterday. So clearly that part was fine, but I wanted to test like what happens when I completely reach my limit, because I've been interested in doing like ultra marathons, which are like 100 miles. That's where like serious shit goes wrong. But I figured I wanted some serious shit to go wrong to actually kind of know what it feels like and be able to like do something about it ahead of time.
Yeah, that's smart, actually. That's a really good idea.
Yeah, but I probably should have just done like a normal marathon first, but you know, whatever, it's fine. I'll do it next week or something just to prove a point. But it's fine. I'm kind of having fun. Have you done any kind of like exercise-y things? Are you into like working out? Cause, you know, you're not fat, I think.
Yeah, I mean, all the gyms are closed right now. They've been closed since March, which is driving me crazy. But I got like weights and stuff downstairs. I've been doing a lot of push-ups and those handles that you use for push-ups as well. I got those. So I do like 3 different types of push-ups where I put like my feet up on something and I'm like elevated down or whatever, and yeah, just like weights and stuff like that. I use like a band, and just keeps me in decent shape, but I'm not in my best shape right now just because I don't have the gym. I don't have like a bench press or nothing like that, so it's just like it is what it is. I don't beat myself up, so like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, the gyms have just opened like literally the last week I'm here.
Oh man, that feel like Christmas to me.
Yeah, it's funny, like, what you appreciate.
How are the cases out there? Do you guys have like a lot of cases, or just like...
No, we kind of did quite a good job of getting it down. So now it's like 400 a day or something in cases, but not really many deaths or anything. So it's all...
I don't think it's as bad as what they make it out to be either, though.
Yeah, it's certainly kind of pretty huge.
I still take it serious, but yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to really be too worried about it when it doesn't affect you much. It's hard to know. As in, it could have been a lot worse, and it's one of those things that you don't really get sort of celebrated for stopping things from happening. If like the thing didn't happen, no one ever really knows how bad it was or could be, so you can't really like happy about that. So maybe it could have been totally awful, but it wasn't. And so we were all like, oh, it was a bit of a do about nothing, and you're like, well, no, that was the point of the work. But yeah, on the subject of press ups, have you heard of the Moby Flower Challenge?
Moby Flat, no. Is that something new?
Yeah, so you know Moby? Like, he's an artist from, like, the 90s.
No.
What?
What kind of music does he do?
I thought you, like, I know all this old music.
I don't know. Well,
then if you can hear.
Maybe if I hear one of his songs, I'll know. He just goes by Moby?
His song's kind of famous. It's not his most famous.
Oh, right there.
He's got some pretty famous ones. Can you hear this? Because it's in my headphones. I don't know if that means if you can hear it or not. I'm guessing you can't hear it.
No, I can hear it.
Okay. And it basically goes, bring Sally up, bring Sally down. Some words. And then it just keeps him saying that again and again and again.
Yeah, I've seen that in a push-up. Like, people, like, use that as a push-up.
Yeah. It's that.
Okay. Yeah.
I was going to say, that's a good one.
Okay. So I heard that too. You may not have known it was him.
I spent a week during lockdown where I did that. I played that song every hour and did the challenge, like, every hour.
Did that help you a lot?
Yeah, it was really weird. Like, it was more than doing, like, a crazy big gym session, like, in one point, but just doing it every hour. It was really strange. I really liked it.
How long did you do it within an hour? Like, how long does it take?
It's like a 4-minute song.
Oh, so 4 minutes every hour?
You do it for the 4 minutes. It's like, it's a really hard challenge, but then you just do it again every hour, again and again and again. And, like, it just gets kind of really relentless and it's like a ritual.
And you feel like you saw some results from that?
Yeah, I saw some really big results from it. It was insane. So, like, you finish the first day and it feels like you just had, like, an epic gym session, like, on your chest.
I'm going to put that on my phone. I'll try that. Because, you know, sometimes when I do push-ups, I'll go low and I'll hold it, you know? And then I'll go up and I'll just kind of hold and I'll squeeze a little bit. And I'm like, all right. And then I'll go. So, okay. So, I think that's something I want to try, actually. So, thanks for saying that.
No, yeah, I thought you'd like it. And it was just, it kind of takes a little bit of your time every hour, but it just kind of fit into your day. And if you haven't got other things going on, like, you kind of get, like, this huge, because it's basically about 90 minutes worth of actual, like, exercise compared to, as in if you're at the gym, but, like, condensed into, like, well, just filtered through your day.
I wonder if I can just make it a whole workout, like, and do it within, like, 40 minutes.
Oh, yeah. You could do it, like, 5 times in a row.
Yeah, exactly. I might get sick of the song, though. Not as
Yeah, like, my sister's husband was just, like, was so happy at the end of the week, and it's like, we're never listening to that song ever again. I'm like, oh, it's kind of nice.
That's so funny.
So instead, I've just been just doing, like, a different 100 press-ups for the thing.
No, I'm actually going to try that. It sounds really cool. Sounds like it'll work.
Yeah, so I just wasn't bothering to do too much before that. And then by the end of that week, I was just, like, press-up machine and, like, serious gains. Should have done, like, a before-after photo, really.
Yeah, right.
It's kind of mildly impressive. I'm sure if you did it for a month, you'd be like an absolute beast. I was looking at, like, the world records for press-ups and stuff after that. So I was like, yeah, if I just kept this going for ages. But then, like, the people that have done the world records are pretty insane, turns out. I was considering, like, I think I could probably do, like, the world record for, like, the most in a year if I really put my mind to it. But, like, just fitting it into your life.
You sound like you're the type that gets determined. And once you're determined about something, like, you see it through. I kind of noticed that about you. That's pretty cool.
Thanks. This is what I like to think about myself.
Yeah, no, that's cool.
I said, from inside, I feel like I'm just a massive failure because I've had this thing about, like, 5 billion things and so, like, kind of done okay at, like, maybe 10 things, but, like, I'm just sort of I'm playing it.
Like, so I got to speak that into you, but, nope, I got this. I'm going to do it.
Yeah, definitely. This is, like, I guess also because of, like, you're sort of super focused on your music, which is great, whereas I'm like, everything. I want to do everything. It's not so useful, mate.
Yeah. You got to pick a lane and just kind of, like, find something that you're really passionate about, you know?
Yeah, it's a hard one. Some people seem to, like, just take to it naturally, but I think most people, it's probably where I'm at.
Looks like you have a lot of interests, though. But, I mean, hey, you can do whatever the hell you want to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't have to just stick to one thing. You know what I'm saying? You can do.
Yeah, you can do anything, but you can't do everything.
Yeah, you can't do everything.
Confusing one.
You only got 24 hours in a day.
100%. So, anyway, good life lesson.
Join over 500,000 people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. With BetterHelp, it's a sponsor of this podcast, and they're just really great, and hopefully it can help you with any of the problems that you have. I genuinely struggle from a diagnosed condition of needing too much adventure and thrill-seeking. But during lockdown, this actually kind of came out in some weird ways. And sometimes when I'd be recording the podcast, I'd be talking to someone in the interview and I would just mute the sound on my headphones. So I'd have no idea what they were saying. And I'd just try and carry on with the interview and see if I could do it without anyone noticing. I have no idea why I did that. Yeah, there's something wrong with me. Hence why I needed counseling. BetterHelp really helped me find healthier ways to exist as a human in this crazy world. They assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. It's professional counseling done securely online with all types of counselors in different professions, and you can access it from anywhere in the world. It's really convenient. So yeah, this is a special offer for Growth Mindset Podcast listeners. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/growthmindsetpodcast.
Let's go on to music videos, because I'm kind of interested in how like people go around doing this, because I always thought if I was making things that I'd really want to like spend a week sort of like brainstorming ideas for a music video and what I do with it. Or is it what's the process like? How do you make a video?
So it just depends on, I would say, the producer. It just depends on, like, your experience is going to depend on them, because I feel like everybody does things differently. And I think one way that I really enjoyed was working with a producer who likes to pretty much give me like a sheet and tell me like, okay, you know, I have some ideas. We're going to like shoot something like shoot a certain scene in this city, you know, and I'll give my ideas as well. You know, they hear what I want to say first and then they'll kind of mix their ideas as well. It's like a good collaboration, you know, and then we start like feeding into each other's ideas. So there's like either that, and I've done videos where it's like just show up and we're going to shoot some like cool scenes and like just some party scenes, and it's just like there's nothing really to really think about. It's just like, this is just like a party scene, just kind of do your thing, that's it, you know. But for my music video Novocaine, that was like a story, you know, so it was like about two different scenarios and they just kind of mix into each other at the end, and so I thought it was kind of interesting. So that was like the first time I did like an actual story based music video instead of just kind of showing up and just kind of like trying to, you know, be flashy and whatever, you know. So I thought it was kind of cool. I think I actually preferred that experience more, just because like more thought was put into it, you know.
Yeah, definitely. There's just so many videos that are all kind of like, they're pretty flashy and sort of attention grabbing, but like if you just watch them in a row, like it's hard to tell the difference. It's just sort of people dancing and looking happy and there's a party, and sort of like there's some videos that kind of make you stop.
I mean, don't get me wrong, they're fun as hell too. They're like, one of my biggest songs is called Want Me, and we shot that video in downtown Detroit, and we did like a bar scene, a party bus scene, and it was like a real party. Like, it wasn't nobody's pretending to like party. Everyone's like really partying, really having fun, and like, you know, it was just like a great time. My buddy who's in the video, he's in one scene, people always point it out because he looks like straight up wasted, shit face wasted, and I was just like, oh god. And he was like, he looks so like fucking gone, you know, but I kind of love it being there at the same time, because it kind of shows that it's real, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, he was really messed up, and I actually threw up in my car that night. It was a terrible experience. I had to clean up my friend's vomit. And that was pretty shitty, but he still apologizes till this day about it.
Perfect. You still regularly go into podcasts and let him know, just in case.
Yeah, I'm going to let him listen to this part, but like, motherfucker, this is about you right here.
Damn straight. Yeah. So what do you feel about, like, as an artist, of the influence on people and, like, the generation of, do you feel like you should sort of be responsible and show people, like, what it is, like, is in life that should make you happy? Or is it kind of, like, talking about partying and just having fun and...
So I try to keep things real, but at the same time, I do like to be a good role model as well, because I do have like a lot of younger fans as well. I'm not doing anything different than nobody else is my age is doing, you know, like, you know, someone in their 20s. So yeah, like I do party and like to have fun, but I still try to keep it classy at the same time. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to like, you know.
What's a classy party?
I don't know how to explain it. Smashing bottles at the wall or something, just acting crazy. Just, you know, I don't know.
Okay, vomiting in your car.
Yeah. Okay, maybe that part wasn't classy, but that wasn't my vomit, all right? I was cleaning it up.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, just, like, there's artists that talk about, like, doing, like, hardcore drugs and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, when they party, you know, I don't do stuff like that. And I just, like, drink or whatever. And, yeah, I just do my own thing, you know?
Have you felt like you've had any pressure to take drugs and do things?
Oh, yeah. Through my life, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I definitely, like, had been offered cocaine a few times. But I never take it, you know what I'm saying? I was just like, you can do whatever you want to do. I don't judge anybody either, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't give a fuck. If you want, you can do whatever the hell you want to do. And it's really simple. You just say, no, I don't do it, you know? No one's ever, like, cornered me, like, you sure, man? Come on, you don't want to do this? Like, no, it's not like this, you know? But I was telling my little brother about that, too. He's 13, so I was trying to give him some advice as well. You know, when he gets older, like, when people try to pressure you, like, you straight up say, like, no, I'm good. Like, don't worry about, like, losing that friend. And if your friend, like, quits talking to you or whatever, or they just like give you shit for it, they're not your real friend, you know what I'm saying? Like, so, like, you know, he's a smart kid.
It's a good lesson to learn.
Yeah, he's just be real, like, no, I don't like it, that's not something I want to do. Like, okay, that's it.
Yeah, it's a really hard one there when you're a teenager and you're like trying to seek attention and like getting people to like you and stuff.
Yeah, see, I never had that experience when I was a teenager. That happened more like, well, I mean, when I was like 18, but that's like, you know, you're like a young adult at that point. That's when I started experiencing stuff like that. Never really had anybody offer me anything when I was younger than that, so.
Yeah, I did try quite a lot of different drugs, to be fair. As in, sort of like my thing yesterday, I'm just a really curious human. I don't really like judging things before I know what they're like and stuff.
What's the craziest drug you've done?
I mean, I probably wouldn't know what it was in terms of...
I've done shrooms before.
Shrooms are great, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was like an interesting experience, actually. I did my research before I did them as well.
So, I mean, I kind of feel like taking shrooms and acid isn't so crazy if you do it.
See, that's what I'm afraid of taking, just because it's just like some man-made shit. I don't know, I just don't like it.
Then acid, it's a really long trip, to be fair. And if you do go down like a bad place, it's like walking into the gates of hell kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds brutal, yeah.
But so far, everything's been great when I've been on acid. So, well, there's been some moments like where you can kind of like, you're on the borderline, you can see that things go really bad. And you're like, not looking, it's fine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, taking some probably not good speed once, that was not good.
Yeah, I've been offered that before too.
And just like some various normal drugs. But yeah, most of them I basically took once and was like, yeah, I don't think I want to take that drug anymore. Whereas like basically shrooms, I kind of was like, yeah, I could probably take them once a year or so. Like they kind of, I feel like it's almost healthy.
Yeah, they're natural, like compared to like acid or like Molly or something like that, you know?
Definitely.
It's like with Molly and shit like that, like I learned that like people just condense. God knows what's in, you know, Molly. Like, and I would never fucking take stuff like that, you know? Like I've had friends that have, but just me personally, like I'm too afraid of that just because I really have no idea what the hell's in it, you know? So.
Yes, yeah, it's kind of like the whole like argument for drugs being legalized because of it would just save a lot of problems in terms of unhealthy stuff going wrong and weird stuff going into people's drugs because people still take them anyway. But yeah, I found like it is just really creative and like useful for your life. It's been shown to like be helped loads with depression and sort of getting you out of ruts and stuff. And I wouldn't want to take it too much because I have like too many ideas when I take sort of shrooms and things. And I'm like, can I change my life and do this huge great thing? And I get super excited. But like, if I do it every week, I'm just going to be a nightmare. Like, I already have too many ideas. But I think once a year or so, it's just lets you like completely sort of divide from yourself for a second, like to look on yourself holistically, or like what you're up to, and like think, like, wait, like maybe I could be a bit more on course and stuff. So I find it in that sense.
Yeah, I agree. Like with shrooms, like I'll probably do them like once every 2 years or something like that. And I feel like every experience that I have done them, I actually did learn something about myself. Like actually, like it's a very unique kind of like promote it.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying like you got a choice between acid and shrooms. Go with the shrooms. To me personally, like I don't know, I just feel like it kind of opened it up, like opened like a lot of things up for me. And I realized stuff that like haunted me when I was a kid. Like it just kind of like, you know, this is why I do a certain thing. It's like, oh, because something happened to me when I was younger. It's like, okay, that makes sense now. And I kind of got over that. It's like, okay, that's kind of helped me in a way, you know? So it was pretty interesting.
Interesting, yeah. One other thing I wanted to ask was, do you feel like you've had to create a bit of an alter ego for yourself? Because I was going to say, like, when you're like, oh, don't worry, unless you're like Lady Gaga or something, you need to look like completely different, then like you can just sort of show up.
You mean this morning?
Yeah, yeah.
This morning, I was like, I'll just throw some, okay, yeah. Well, in that sense, the reason why I wanted to actually dress up, because I wasn't sure if it was going to be like a video thing or not, but sometimes even when it's not a video interview, I'll still dress up just because it puts me in a zone, like, I'm in like in a professional, you know, mode. I'm not just Nathan, just like, you know, kicking my feet up or whatever and just kind of like, you know, not really, you know, focusing on like, you know, the music and stuff like that or whatever I'm trying to talk about. So like when I dress up, whatever, I feel like, okay, I'm a settled artist. Like, so in a way, yeah, I kind of do feel that way now that you bring that up.
So you sort of feel like you sort of develop this almost, so like sort of like the who you are is like a stage presence almost, but it kind of like follows you around this sort of normal life. Is there a real you that I haven't got to meet yet?
No, honestly, I feel this is the real me right here, honestly, just more dressed up version of me.
Just with a hat. Cool. Interesting.
Someone just woke up.
So you alluded to some things from your earlier life that you had to deal with. What were those things that you dealt with?
Just like kind of like being harassed by my like cousins and stuff like that, just kind of being picked on by a few certain things. And it kind of made me feel scared as I got older. It wasn't even like anything too major. It just made me feel like inferior because I grew up with like a lot of my older cousins and they were like, you know, kind of tough. And so they always made me feel kind of like inferior. And so when I was getting older, I always kind of had this mentality where I was just like, I didn't like confrontation, you know what I'm saying? And I just feel like, you know, I was always kind of nervous around a lot of people and stuff like that. And then as I got older, I just kind of like, you know, built confidence into myself. And, you know, just growing up, you know, I got into like a few fights, for example, you know, just like in school, just like little petty shit in middle school or something like that. And that kind of like gave me confidence, you know, even though growing up, I felt afraid of my cousins, you know, I'm saying like, it's just kind of like, no, I can hold my own. I know there's nothing wrong with me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I am a stronger person than I think I am, you know? And so as I got older, so, you know, when I was taking those shrooms or whatever, like it kind of helped me look back at that. And I was like, you know, this is why when I look into my past, I always always thought of myself as like somebody who was shy, somebody that was like scared. Like, I don't feel like that now, but just looking back, like, I feel like that's how I viewed myself as a child. But, you know, it was just because of how I was growing up around my cousins. You know, they were always just like, you know, it's really like tough with me or whatever, but it's just stuff that I got over, you know?
Yeah, it's funny. Things can sort of affect you. And that, you know, the whole like how you are with your family or sort of a group of people, like when you're at like a school, but then you change school, you can be quite like a different person, but then you sort of still have the same role when you go back to that place. And you're like, but I'm a completely different person. Yet, why am I like sort of being like this?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I can definitely see that.
Do you read a lot?
Actually, I do. I like to read a lot of self-help books.
Yeah, me too. What would you say is the book that you've given to most people or like advised most people to read?
I would say Battlefield of the Mind. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. Her name is Joyce Meyer. And the book is basically like a spiritual book, really. Just kind of like why we have these thoughts in our heads and, you know, just like a lot of self-destroying thoughts and like why certain things are happening to us and how to counter them, you know. I thought that was like a really interesting book and definitely actually helped me a lot. And that's something like a book you can go back to and not just something you read once, but something you kind of go back to as a guide.
Yeah, cool. I'm excited to get into that. What would you say is your number one take home from that book? If you could like bestow the greatest piece of wisdom that you get from it.
I would say that we live in a spiritual world, and it's not just from reading that book. I believe we live in a spiritual world. It's my own experiences. I believe, you know, that we live in a spiritual world, and just like, you know, something that was in the book called mind binding spirits. So it's kind of like spirits that are just kind of like that voice in your head, basically telling you that you're not good enough or telling you that you can't do this or that this is going to happen or that's going to happen. Just all that fear, all that negativity, you know, it's not you that's doing it. It's not coming from you. And you just have to like counter it by giving yourself like good thoughts and say, you know what, like, no, I'm not gonna listen to these, like, I'm better than that, I'm stronger, you know, I can do this. And so that's just something that kind of like gave me that boost, like, you know, I can counter these thoughts and be like, you know, like, you know, I'm not afraid of this event tomorrow, like, I'm gonna be confident tomorrow, you know what I'm saying? So stuff like that.
Cool. Sounds useful for mind games and everything.
Yeah, definitely. And I definitely feel like I had dealt with that a lot. Like even with my song Novocaine, in the lyrics I'm saying like, I don't want no Novocaine no more. And then I say like, let me go. And basically when I'm saying let me go, I'm saying that to the thoughts in my head, like, let me go. Like, I don't want to think about drinking for this reason or whatever, or like, you know, so that book's definitely helped a lot. And I think it's helped a lot of people as well.
Cool. Thanks. What's one of your earliest ever memories?
I would say when I lived with my older cousin and my grandma, we all lived at my grandma's house, like me and my cousins, and we all kind of like lived under the same roof when we were like born. And up until we were like maybe 7 years old, our family started to move out of that house and start their own like, you know, lives or whatever. I thought that was like kind of interesting that we all like lived together at one point. I thought it was like siblings in a way, so I thought it was kind of interesting.
That's nice. So you remember that as like a happy time then?
Yeah, actually I do. Yeah. At those stages. Yeah. Like it's kind of exciting. I remember like playing hide and seek, you know, and I remember I would go and steal a toy from my cousin's room because he stole one from me. And so like, it was just like some little kid stuff, but yeah, good memories though, for sure.
Yeah, it's funny, like, these kind of things that like sort of define your youth that you sort of don't really realize. I kind of just think that that's how life is. And you realize like, I'm super lucky that things happen the way they did, kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure.
What's one of the kindest things someone's done for you?
I mean, a lot. Just something random off the top of my head. I remember I was actually going through something in college. Actually, it was like a breakup. And I remember this couple, I was at a Panera Bread studying or something. And this couple like walked behind me and they dropped like a rose like on my book and they walked out. It was just like a nice gesture. It was just like, oh, I was like, that was kind of nice. You know what I'm saying? Like just an act of kindness for no reason. You know, I thought that was kind of cool. It kind of like helped me get through that day. I was like, thank you, God. Like, I feel like God did that in a way. You know what I'm saying? Like he used them to do that just to kind of like cheer me up like a little bit. So I thought it was kind of unique, but yeah.
It's confusing ones. And should you go or should you thank the people? Because I mean, if I was the person, I'd be like, oh, this is dickhead. I mean, I gave it to him and I was like, oh God, isn't this wonderful?
No, I was definitely thanking them. I was definitely grateful for them. I thought it was like really sweet of them, you know, like you can just tell they're good people. They just kind of go out of their way just to do something nice like that. And I feel like I'd like to do that as well. You know, I've gone out of my way to help a lot of people as well.
That's good to hear. Cool. Yeah, have you got any questions that you wanted to ask me, or is there anything that we didn't speak about that you would really like to speak about?
Just like to tell the viewers to check out my single Novocaine, check out the music video for that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I was going to say that anyway, outside of this recording part too, because I really like it. So I'm very happy to.
Thank you, man. Appreciate that. I really enjoyed this interview too, man.
Yeah. Maybe we can have a catch up maybe in 6 months or something.
Oh yeah, for sure. Maybe I'll learn piano.
Yeah. Sounds like a plan. Cool. All right. Look forward to hearing from that. Nice. Well, yeah, have a good day.
You too, Sam. I really appreciate you having me on your podcast, man. I really do.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate having the chat. It's been really interesting.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Have a nice 2020 and such.
Thanks, man. And good luck with that mountain too.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I'll send you an update. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
All right. Ciao.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed the episode as much as I did. My goal for this podcast is to help make people happier and wiser, and I'm also working on a few other projects in the podcasting space to achieve the same thing. I run the Wiser Than Yesterday podcast with a friend, where we read and discuss a great non-fiction book a week. We talk about things like philosophy, psychology, the economy, self-improvement, and business. Books such as The Black Swan, Anti-Fragile, Invisible Women, How to Win Friends and Influence People. It's a great resource. Most recently, I've been building an app, Syncify. It's really to level up your podcast experience. You can connect with your friends in the app and listen to the same things. So you can listen live in real time with each other or create shared playlists and catch up at your own pace. You learn so much more by discussing ideas with friends. It's really silly to listen alone. You can also discover and share brilliant episodes with ease without having to try and recommend podcasts in different apps and just it all getting lost and confused. So it's also good for combating isolation and mental health. I personally find social media quite antisocial, and I just don't find it easy to reach out to friends to chat for no real reason. But I do love doing things with other people, and listening to the same content means that I can naturally talk about the same things, and it just gives me that friend time without going out of my way. So I really hope that it can help you, and I just would love you to try out the beta version and help us build this. And obviously, do invite your friends. It's all about friends. So you can find out more about Syncify app by going to syncifyapp.com. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to the show. If you have any questions, please reach out to me through the website at growthmindsetpodcast.com. I do love talking to listeners. You can support us on Patreon or by leaving a review on iTunes or telling a friend about us. But mostly, keep learning and keep growing.